the strange thing is that I wasn't allowed to see my 8.5-year-old son for over 2.5 hours.
This is an incident that happened in, last summer. And Wanda, you talked about how you were speaking with a companion about criticizing the Klan, and a Seaside Company guard essentially ordered you off the property, separated you from your children, kept you off the property for 2.5 hours, and frightening your companion, or causing distress to your companion, frightening the child, I would imagine terrorizing you, or certainly putting you in, I'd be upset, apprehensive, and dumbfounded at what happened because of comments you made regarding your view about the Ku Klux Klan, which isn't that radical a view in Santa Cruz. I mean, the Klan is not really regarded as the hero of the people here in this particular neck of the woods. At least people don't say it's the hero of the people, right?
Well, yeah, but I was told that I can't disrespect an organization like that up there.
You can't disrespect an organization, right?
And I'm like, you're telling me, a little black woman, that they're
a lovely bunch of boys, just misunderstood.
But when I called the Seaside Company that night to report the incident, I was told the same thing, that I can't disrespect an organization like that up here.
Too much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't know where the Seaside gets all its funding. I imagine they do have those midnight clavern meetings on the roller coaster, but I think that, you know, during the day, maybe they should adopt a different policy. I mean,
it's only right.
Oh boy. Well, Wanda, you want to give us some? Phil, are you? You want to stay with us? You want to go? What's your feeling? You can stay with us if you want, or you got more you want to talk about?
Wanda sounds like she's got a very interesting story to tell. Why don't you give it to her for a while?
All right. Well, shall we? Then you want to?
Yeah. Let me disconnect, and if you have need of my services, just give me a jingle.
I will.
And I'll be listening in the meantime.
I hope you can. You can't seem to get that radio down there.
Well, I've got my tin can up to the receiver.
All right. Well, let's go for it then.
Okay.
I'm talking to
nice
Phil
talking
Baird.
Talking to you, Wanda.
Nice talking to you, too.
Phil, before you go, I want to put in a plug for you. In case people do want to get in touch with you for more information about the Rex Court Project or how to fight for real low-income housing in the Beach Flats area and how to protect the low-income housing of those who currently have it, give a call to
423-0170.
Do you have a meeting time plan for a next meeting of your group?
Let's see. I don't know offhand, but I'll get back to you as soon as I've got a date on that kind of thing. There's something on the 28th, I believe, but let me not give a date that might not be accurate. I'll get back to you on that one.
Sounds good. Thanks.
Thank you, Robert.
All right. Thank you. Phil Baird.
And that was a little-known Mamas and Papa song, For the Love of Ivy. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. And I'm going to ask my guest to sign in. I know her as Wanda, but she is, in fact, known as...
Wanda Conaway Knight.
So you're Wanda Knight, or Wanda C. Knight.
Well, I used the word Conaway. I just recently got divorced because of mistaken identity about me and another Wanda Knight.
I see. So you want to make sure you are the proper Wanda Knight, or the police don't keep, for some reason, mistaking you for another Wanda Knight.
Yeah, they do.
Well, how long have you lived in the area, Wanda?
It'll be 21 years, June 21st.
And you talked to us about a year ago about this incident we've talked about Seaside Company harassment and then inadequate Santa Cruz police response. But this has all been in a kind of a broader context, right? You've been having problems with the sheriff's deputies,
yes.
A form of harassment, which you believe are a function of racial discrimination?
Yes, I do.
You want to talk a little bit about that?
I lived up in Felton for 14 years.
Right.
Was married. We're an interracial couple. Owned our own home. Worked in Thrifties up there for 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
A Villa of Beauty, a beauty shop. I'm a licensed cosmetologist 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm heavily involved in the school at the California Board of Education Healthy Start. I'm a spokesperson for San Lorenzo Elementary. And I do volunteer work, information and referral for Ben Lohman Resource Center.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm exhausted already. So you've got a lot of connections with the community, and you're very busy, it sounds like, and yet you've been targeted by some local police agencies, you feel.
Yeah. I was stopped 11 times in 6 weeks by the Sheriff's Department up in Felton. You know, I lived up there 14 years like they didn't know me. Most of them came in Thrifties. I'm sure I might have done a couple of their hairs at the Villa of Beauty. There's a one deputy, his name is Deputy Martin Beltran. He went against judge's court orders. He forced me to go against him, my ex-husband to go against him. He threatened me. I was arrested, which I have a claim against the county against him. I have 3 claims against him totaling $1,200,000 on Deputy Martin Beltran. I was pepper sprayed inside of a home no more than 3 inches from my face. I was taken outside and hosed down because my face was on fire. I just had second degree and first degree burns 3 weeks prior. They opened up wounds on my face. Then they drove me off and parked on the side of the road for 15 minutes. I had friends who followed them. I don't know why. They were trying to calm me down because I was hysterical.
I think I would be probably feeling rather upset if that were happening to me.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and when I got booked in, there was blood all over my face. I'm in the holding cell wiping it off with toilet paper. So I got booked, and I was held for 3 days. I went to court. The public defender thought I was crazy because I told her I had reported him to the FBI for hate crimes in San Jose and in San Francisco.
You had reported who to the FBI?
Well, I reported that there were hate crimes here, and I left my name. And I also told her that I reported him to Bay Area Police Watch. Well, Deputy Martin Beltran,
mm-hmm.
Jason Nelson,
mm-hmm.
Steve Christensen, Officer Nutz, and one Brian and Aaron.
These are deputies with the Sheriff's Department?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And these incidents where you say they harassed you happened during what period of time? We're talking about the last year. I know you were in the studio last summer.
About a year and a half ago.
So it was before, this had happened to you before you came into the studio. In fact, I think you referred to it at that time.
Well, all the times I was stopped,
mm-hmm.
you know. I'm threatened that my car would be impounded, even though I had the red sticker from DMV, because I couldn't afford to get my car smogged.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down there and I got the red sticker. It's a month. Well, I was told it would be impounded. I've also known from a friend of mine who witnessed that the sheriff's removed my registration sticker.
Really?
Yeah, I had an accident. I went off a ravine, and just so happened it was on my friend's property. So 2 days later, the highway patrol, they came there to tow my car. And a friend told me, after it was towed, they said, do you know whose car this is? She said, yeah, it's my friend Wanda's. And the sheriff said, yeah. Yeah, Wanda Knight. We were going to give her a ticket. I was going to give her a ticket last week, but she had her stickers on. So then she said he proceeded to go and remove my registration sticker. And she said, what, I thought you said, this is, her, you know, she had her stickers. He said they're the wrong numbers.
Hmm. And what happened? Was this case eventually resolved? Did you get your car back?
Well, yeah, I got my car back.
And were they the wrong numbers?
No, because I noticed that my registration sticker wasn't on there. So I went down to DMV with my last $7 and got them replaced. And before I could get back up in Felton by Denny's, I was surrounded by sheriffs and police cars.
This is, you were on foot or you
were? No, in my car, like, because I didn't have a sticker, like they're going to use an excuse to stop me again.
Uh-huh.
But every time I got stopped, I never got a ticket, I never got a citation.
Well, this sounds like the classic thing that Michelle Alexander was telling us at the NAACP WILP Forum, where she discussed how driving while black or brown, driving, you know, while being a person of color, has become essentially kind of a turkey shoot for police departments throughout the country. I mean, it's always been, I would imagine, but it's becoming increasingly, apparently, it's increasing because of large amounts of money from the drug war that are being funneled into police stops now that a bad Supreme Court decision rules that you don't, that pretext stops, so-called pretext stops, where they stop you for something that is technically a violation but isn't really a basis of a real violation. Something they wouldn't normally stop. That is not the real intention of the stop. They can use something that is not the real intention to stop you, and then begin things like degrading searches, series of interrogations, humiliation rituals that are all too common to people of color, young people, homeless people.
This
has happened to you repeatedly?
Yes, it has.
Santa Cruz County? Wait a minute. This is the liberal Santa Cruz County, man. What are you talking about?
Well, that's what I thought so, too. You know, the myth back east. Oh, wow, let's move to California. Oh, you know, all the myth that you see on television.
California dreaming.
Yeah, California dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But I guess I like it because I've been here 21 years. But another thing that they have on me is a mistaken identity.
Mm-hmm.
Which I can't understand because Francis Cribb and Marianne Rehberg from the Child Protective Services made the same mistake about 3 years ago, and it only took them 2 days to realize it was a mistaken identity.
There is another Wanda M. Knight around.
Well, that's what I heard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like since 1972, I am supposed to be doing armed robbery, B&E, been in and out of prison.
Well, you look pretty dangerous.
Yeah, 5'1¼". But the strange thing about it is that I didn't marry Mr. Knight till January 8th of 1990. So 18 years ago, how could I have been that woman?
Time travel. So you, how many times have you been mistaken for this other person?
Well, I don't know, because all I do know is that the people from Child Protective Services, they pulled up my records and they told me that my records have been integrated, that things that were not on my record last year are on my record now, from L.A.
Mm-hmm.
The only time I was down in L.A. was July of 1979. I was 7 months pregnant with my daughter, and I went down there for 3 days.
But you,
Disneyland.
But your records now show other L.A. experiences?
According to Marion Rehberg from the Child Protective Services, yes.
It sounds like what you need is a lawsuit to clear your records and maybe a lawsuit to get restitution from the records bureaus, whoever they are, for this kind of mistake. Not that it'll ever happen or you'll ever be able to do it. But that's what needs to be done. I know what Michelle Alexander talked about. She was talking in favor of supporting in all police departments demands that cops keep stats. Anytime they stop someone, they keep a stat on the race, the ethnicity of the person involved, which sounds good enough until, of course, I heard at a Citizens Police Review Board meeting about 4 days ago the very pointed and pungent argument by a Hispanic activist who came down from San Francisco to oppose the police abuse against Steve Argue, the pepper spraying, the violence at the anti-war demonstration that happened by Officer Lefebvre and others against Steve Argue and other protesters. He pointed out that, you know, even if the cops are doing the stopping and keeping the records, if you don't trust the cops in the first place, how are you going to trust them to keep good records? I mean, isn't it kind of a strange thing to ask them to do? And it's hard to gainsay that argument. Instead, he proposed what's needed are video cameras on police cars.
Yeah, but I don't know how good that would be either.
Oh, you don't like that idea?
Well, it does sound pretty good, but will they turn them on? I mean, would they act normal, or would they put a facade of acting like?
Oh, I'm sure they would. That anyone, you know, under those circumstances, would want to present her or his best side. But I think that if there were regulations that videotapes of all cars were kept, you know, for two or three working days afterward, and that they would, you know, I mean, that would be the way you'd do it. You'd have everything videotaped every time the car stopped. The tapes would keep running, and the tapes would be kept in the, you know, in the records department for a week after. So if any complaints were made, then the tapes could be consulted. And I think there are some, very few, but I think there may be one or two jurisdictions that actually do this. This was the offer of the activist who came to the police review board hearing on Monday. Although I don't mind the idea of the police being told to keep records of ethnicity, and I said with respect to homeless stops, we asked when the issue of the sleeping ban was going through committee 6 months ago, we said, whenever a police officer contacts a homeless person, the police officer should fill out a specific record of why he stopped that person and what transpired. Not a long one, you know, paragraph. And, or even less than that, just note, I stopped this person at such and such a place and such a time. That's it. So that there is a documentation, because frequently what happens, we found, was that cops were coming up to homeless people saying, get the fuck out of here, you can't sleep here. And they weren't giving them a ticket, just mm-hmm. like with you. They stop you on the road, they harass you, they humiliate you, they abuse you, they waste your time and they take away your rights.
Yeah.
And then they move you on your way with no documentation that it ever happened. And if you say something, it's all in your mind, you're crazy, right?
What they mostly want to know, they didn't tell me what was the violation, what was this, they want to know where I was moving.
Where you were going?
Where I was moving. They heard I was moving mm-hmm. out of town.
I see.
Where are you going to, Wanda? Where are you moving to? I don't know. Oh, come on, you could tell us. I said, what did I do? You know, why'd you stop me?
Sounds pretty bizarre. Sounds like stalking. Stalking by an organized group of armed thugs who operate under the color of law. Now, the Klan in the old days, of course, was the law enforcement authorities in the South and even in the North, particularly in the 20s and 30s. And I was told like a decade ago that they had been involved in the Sheriff's Department in Santa Cruz County. I don't know how accurate that is. I've never actually seen any specific documentation of Klan penetration into the Santa Cruz Sheriff's Office or the Santa Cruz Police. We do know that there's some pretty bizarre behavior from a number of deputies, but again, police departments tend to bring out bizarre behavior in officers because you get this power, and some officers just cannot deal with it. They abuse it. It becomes their own way, their own crutch, or their own form of addictive power tripping against other people.
You know what skewed me is after that lady got shot down in Riverside, 23 shots, because she, you know, they shot her 23 times because she
Tisha,
had a gun. Yeah.
Tisha, I think her name was, yeah.
You know, she had a gun in her lap. Then I started thinking, is this the facade that they're trying to build up, that I'm this dangerous woman and I'm this and that, and then so they could shoot me and then say, oh, we made a mistake, you know?
Well, like Happy John got shot in 1997, the homeless, well, the police act, the police, the activist for homeless rights and against police abuse, who was was disabled, he was he gave the appearance of a homeless person at times, and he was shot, as you know, for allegedly wielding a toy gun in you didn't know that, November of 97, Happy John Dine was killed by Officer Connor Carey, and of course that whole thing was whitewashed by authorities. It was even though every non-police witness found holes galore in the official story by D.A. Art Danner and Police Chief Steve Belcher. So I think, you know, your apprehensions are not, I mean, I think it's appropriate for you to be concerned when people with the force of authority, with the force of law, can are just stopping you with impunity. I know we talked to Kate Wells, who apparently is your attorney, right?
Yes.
And we talked to her on the issue of how it's becoming increasingly difficult to hold deputies accountable. A recent Supreme Court, or I mean, it's not a Supreme Court, it's, I think it's a more recent lower court decision in California. Maybe it's federal, I'm not sure, but she was talking about it at one of our recent shows, says that now sheriffs are claiming successfully in court that they're state agents and therefore not suable, that they aren't acting for the county, they're acting for the state, and therefore they're not suable. So I don't know the ins and outs and specifics of this, but I know that Kate said it was becoming more difficult to go after them.
Well, she said she wanted me to go after them.
Definitely.
And drop the boardwalk suit, but I said I want a precedent.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't care if you just get your fee, but I want to be known how I was treated down at the boardwalk.
Mm-hmm.
And this, with the sheriff's department, you know, it's like when I went to court, after they pepper sprayed me and everything, they charged me with battery and resisting arrest. After I was in jail for 7 days.
Now, the pepper spraying happened.
Yeah, that's when the pepper spray happened on November 19th.
And that was
of 98.
That was in an incident
with Deputy Martin Beltran. This is only after he known that I had reported him to his superior, Sergeant Payne of the substation.
On a previous
Sergeant
occasion.
Varinsky, yeah, about him going against court orders and forcing me to go against court orders and threatening me. Because I only thought a judge could change court orders,
what
not
was
a
the
deputy.
Court order he went against?
It was about visitations with my son and my ex-husband down here at Santa Cruz. He told me, well, it didn't say the county or the city, so he forced me to give my son up to my ex-husband so he could take him up to Alameda County where there was a sexual harassment case going on about somebody offending my son. So that, to me, that's child endangerment.
Mm-hmm.
But
anyway, he stopped you and subsequent to your complaint against him, and then an incident happened that were involving pepper spray?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What happened?
Yeah, that's when I got arrested. That's when they arrested me for a battery and resisting arrest. And I was held in jail for 7 days. But after I went to court for 3 days after I was in jail, they told me they were going to do a special investigation to see if he had done this to anybody else. And then 4 days later, I go back to court, and the judge said, yes, these charges should be dropped.
Who's
in the name
judge?
Of justice. I believe it was Barbara Cloud.
Oh,
I think
Charlotte Cloud.
Charlotte Cloud.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was her.
Mm-hmm.
I know I had two different judges.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, yeah, in the name of justice.
But they held you in jail while they investigated this clown?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I got out, on January 14th, I was told by Mitchell Page, the public defender, that he was not to come near me. January 14th, I went to the store and bought some cigarettes. And I see a patrol car go past me. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get stopped again. I'm so used to it, it didn't bother me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he made a left turn, and before I could get to my destination, he was right behind me.
Mm-hmm.
Pulled me over, and I got all my papers. Who was it? Deputy Martin Beltran.
He likes you. He must like
you
a lot.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave him my papers, and he proceeded to go to his patrol car to check me out,
What were they stopping you for?
Oh, he said that the light on my license plate was out.
License plate mm-hmm. light. That was, of course, one of the things that Michelle Alexander said was frequently mm-hmm. used by departments throughout the country, police departments, to stop people.
Yeah, but the funny thing about it, I never fixed it, and it works fine now. So anyway, I got scared because of him forcing me to go against court orders and him pepper spraying me.
Now, how did he pepper spray? How did that happen?
Well, I called for somebody robbing from me.
Mm-hmm.
And the lady that I was calling from, she didn't want me to call, you know, use the phone, so she's trying to get out of my hands. Who do they send? Deputy Martin Beltran
uh-huh.
from the Felton substation.
Uh-huh.
And he wasn't supposed to come near me. And that's how, you know, that incident happened.
Hmm. So, in other words, where you were filing a report of a burglary or something? Or
yeah, uh-huh.
And
so they sent two deputies, and one was Deputy Martin Beltran. And I said, look, I'm not getting a car with him. I'll go with anybody else but him. I'm not going.
And they pepper sprayed you to
well,
push
I
you
put
in
up
car.
A struggle because I was afraid. I was so afraid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid of this man, and that's one of the lawsuits. I'm afraid of him.
You know, it sounds like you may have reason to be.
Yep.
I don't know.
So they pepper sprayed me 2 inches from my eyes, right in my eyes, in the house. The people in the house was running out after they're outside hosing me down with water. And they ordered them to go back in. They couldn't even breathe, but yet it's all in my eyes, all on my first degree and second degree burns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, well, going back to when he stopped me, I was yelling and screaming for my daughter and her friends. I was honking on the horn. He ordered me to get back in my car, and I told him no. I said, they're going to be witnesses. Then he proceeded to run up to me and hand me my license and registration and everything else, and he took off. And I ran, and I started yelling and screaming, yeah. And I said, uh-huh, now I got witnesses, you chicken shit motherfucker. Am I allowed to say that?
No, that's fine. You did have witnesses.
Yeah, my daughter and her friend of hers. My daughter said, Mom, she opened up the door and she could see the fear in my face.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mitchell Page from the public defender told me that this man is not supposed to come near me.
You actually got it. You got an injunction against a deputy.
No, I couldn't because I asked Mitchell Page, where do you go to get a restraining order on an officer of the law? He told me he didn't know.
So how did he construe it that this man was not supposed to come near you if there was no court order?
I don't know. He told me that when I was in court.
Oh, some sort of personal assurance from the judge or something? Or
from whoever he was talking to, because there were a lot of guys. He was running in and out of courtroom, in and out of courtroom. Mm-hmm. And he said, he came near you after he knew that you reported him to his superiors? I said, yeah, Sergeant Varinsky at the police department up on Ocean Street. I said, yes. He goes, and then he pepper sprayed you? I said, yes. And then I don't know if they were private investigators or what, but he was running back in the courtroom, back and forth, back and forth. It's like he was running around like a chicken with his head cut off because he didn't know what to do.
Wow.
So I don't understand. I don't understand any of this. But I do know is that Deputy Martin Beltran has no respect for my constitutional rights or other people's constitutional rights, and he has violated my civil rights over and over and over again. And I composite a letter to the courts or to the Board of Supervisors. When are they going to intervene and say enough is enough and stop this in the name of justice?
Have you considered, I know that one of the things that was brought up at this NAACP Wilp Forum and the, what's the name of that church it was in?
The Progressive Baptist Church on Center Street.
Progressive Baptist Church on Center. There was talk about how it's really important that people of color and people just generally organize to support basic civil rights for all of us, basic human rights here. And when we looked around for a local ACLU member, there was none to be found. And when we looked around for an NAACP member who wanted to open up a hotline, nobody volunteered. And we looked around for a WILP member who wanted to maybe not just be concerned about the situation in Nicaragua or, you know, Colombia, but here in Santa Cruz, they were all silent. And I also noticed at that hearing, the one question that nobody asked, clearly, of Sergeant Baker and Lieutenant Sapone, the two Santa Cruz police officers who were in the audience in that racial profiling lecture by Michelle Alexander, was, excuse me, Sergeant Baker, excuse me, Lieutenant Sapone, does the Santa Cruz Police Department have a policy of racial profiling? Do they stop people because of their color? Do they regard them as being more suspicious? Are you opposed to undertaking a voluntary policy of itemizing the ethnicity of each person you stop? Nobody asked that question. I tried to. I asked it actually loudly after the forum was over, and of course, I didn't really get a direct and clear answer. We have an incoming call. Let's see what's up.
Hi, you're on free radio.
Good evening, Robert. This is V-Man.
Hey. Let's see. Can you hear Wanda? Let me see if Wanda can hear you. Say something.
Yeah, slightly, very slightly.
Okay. Here, let me give the microphone, the earphones to Wanda.
I just wanted to comment on what you just said, actually.
Uh-huh.
That's all, pretty much all I wanted to say, because I'm very intently listening to what she has to say, and I'd rather her have more time. But basically, I just wanted to comment on the question you just raised that nobody asked of the officers in the panel. I wasn't at the panel myself, but I can sort of give you an answer knowing, listening to the police on fairly often, and for sure, they actually do consider, you know, skin color as a factor when they approach certain suspects, as they call them on the radio. They don't even, or subjects, they don't even call us people, they call subjects on their radio.
Now, we should point out that you are a man who has been involved with the local Santa Cruz Cop Watch. You're
a very loose-knit.
Right, a loose-knit group. I mean, you're not really that active now in terms of any formal organization, but you have been, you've listened to, one would say, dozens, if not hundreds, of conversations with police officers on their scanners.
Oh, yeah, I would more call our group Cop Listen than Cop Watch.
Cop Ear or something.
Cop Ear, yeah.
Or cop
Monitor.
Cop Monitor or something.
And
so you have a, not, you're not just speaking sort of in terms of a hearsay or one instance.
Not.
You're talking about your own experience listening
absolutely.
To over a period of time, a period of years.
Yeah, you see certain patterns develop when you listen to calls. That's all I really pretty much like to say.
And let me ask you a question too about this, if any.
Sure.
So what? How do you? Why? You know, if I were in court and I were questioning you on the witness stand, I would say to you, well, what evidence do you have that they really are concerned about the ethnicity? What specific words have they used over the radio that indicate this concern with ethnicity?
I could dig up some old tapes.
But
you have them on tape?
Wanda asks if you have them on tape.
Well, I can't really admit to that, I guess.
No. But let me ask you this.
That might be construed as some of
the... Right. No. You don't want to do that. But based on your recollection, what do you remember? What kind of words were used?
HMA comes up a lot. That's just like one of their terms.
What is HMA?
That means Hispanic male adult.
And give me an example, a sample conversation where this would come up.
Listening to the net teams do their drug sting sometimes, and the yellow channel. The police have a couple different channels, and basically, they seem to target people in the beach flats, and they surveillance them for a period of weeks, and follow them around, have one of their friendly, they call it friendly, which will be somebody that they arrested probably for possession, who they offered a deal, telling them that they would get a lesser sentence if they helped convict, you know, their buddy that's selling.
A snitch, in other words.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And they call it a friendly. And they'll have the friendly go in, they'll have him wired with a radio transmitter, and they will record his conversation and follow these people around, and they'll have teams, literally like five or six guys will be positioned along the roadway, and they'll have a lead car following the guy, right? And as he drives around, and then they'll tell them which way he's going when he turns right, and then somebody else will pick him up. So it's like that it kind of throws the suspicion off that you're being followed, because
but the language based the kind of conversation that leads you to think that they are using race as an indicator of suspiciousness, what kind of conversation do you hear?
Well, just the names that come up all too frequently, you know, the Miguel's, the Gutierrez's, the Ramirez.
Well, this is what Michelle Alexander said. She said that
it's not even just certain, I mean, it happens all the time. It's like it's institutionalized.
She said that the focus, for example, arrests in New Jersey or Maryland was almost exclusively by some police officers on black and brown people.
Yeah.
And so why do you get such a high percentage of black and brown people in jail? Well, if only 2% of the stops result in any kind of convictions, and that's generally apparently the stat, 98% of these stops, just like all that crap that we go through in the courthouse with a metal detector, results in nothing.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're stopping people where 2% are going to be found with you know, some kind of contraband, which is bogus anyway, but let's put that aside, but they're contraband in terms of drugs, then you're going to have a much higher proportion of blacks and browns in jail if they're only stopping people who are black or brown.
That's right.
And it's, you know, it's
very true.
It's just, I mean, it was so eloquently put by Michelle Alexander. When I get that tape, I'm going to be really happy to play it on the air. Yeah, I left it in San Francisco, and it's being mailed back to me. I seem to be a little scattered in my resources. Well, Vinny, is there more you want to say on this issue?
Real quickly, I mean, specifically here in Santa Cruz, I think it's the drug war is more targeted. I mean, obviously what happened to your guest in there is, you know, a very extreme example of it, of this problem, that it's institutionalized, though. That's what I truly believe, that the police don't even see it the way, you know, they don't even see it as racial profiling. They just see it as good cop work, good police work. And they, you know, I mean, that needs to be changed. You know,
well, you know what's really funny is that... You know what's really funny is that they busted just one woman who already had two felons, with possession of stolen property, trading the stolen property to crank for minors who have been jailed in juvenile hall, and they make her the vice president of the Lampico Water Company. Now you tell me, she already had drug things, she's been watched, everything else. What's wrong with that picture? Yeah, and her name is Linda Swanson.
Huh.
You know, I can understand that. They made her, after all this, and papers, robbing from people, doing all this stuff, you know, trading drugs for stolen merchandise, but they made her the vice principal of the Lampico Water Company.
Hmm.
So if that's drug related, but she's a Caucasian.
Well, at least, you know, she's not the wrong color. You know, she's not suspicious, at least on that basis, right?
And she's probably got, coming from an affluent background, I would assume, if she's got some sort of position on some water board. I mean,
well, like
someone.
You said, a friendly thing.
Yeah, yeah. She knew someone, and they kind of like made it a lesser charge, probably, and got her off.
Well, that's interesting. Vinny, is there more you want to say on this subject?
No.
Well, listen,
We talked extensively about police last night.
Yeah, I heard you talking. It was a great show you had last night. You talked a lot about the history of police abuse in Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
So, let's thank you for calling in.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
Bye-bye. I hope that you get, you know, some sort of justice out of this.
Thank you.
Relax, Vinny.
I don't know if I should have mentioned Nick.
Well, yeah, that's a good question about getting justice, but I'm also concerned with other folks out there in your situation who feel they are being targeted because of their race or ethnicity. Have you given any thought, wanted to starting some kind of a group of survivors, supporters who sort of want to start supporting each other and maybe provide a handout to those who are currently suffering this kind of situation? Any thoughts on that?
Yes, I have. I don't know exactly what I'm going to, how I'm going to start it up, but I've been talking to a lot of people, and I've talked at the public forum about hate crimes and violence at the NAACP. I talked Monday at the Santa Cruz Police Review Board, and everybody asked me, what are you talking about? And I tell them, I'm talking about equality for all. And it's like Clinton said, all he wanted was justice and righteousness. And a friend looked at me and she goes, what fantasy are you living in?
Clinton, the man against violence. I know that whole story.
So if anybody's interested, I can give out my telephone number if they'd like to
get
involved.
We're talking to Wanda Knight, who is suing the deputies, who's suing at least one deputy, sounds like several, maybe the sheriff's department, maybe the county, for damages for harassment. Is that how you put it?
It's false arrest, police brutality, and harassment.
And do you have a court date set up yet on that?
No, I don't. But I do have the writ to sue.
All right. Well, then why don't you give your number, and if anyone out there has had similar experiences and wants to get in touch with Wanda, here's the number to call.
465-0276. Or you can leave a message at San Lorenzo Elementary Healthy Start. It's 335-8093.
Give those numbers again.
San Lorenzo Elementary Healthy Start, 335-8093. I'm up there about 3 days a week volunteering. And my home number is 465-0276.
465-0276 for solidarity with Wanda Knight if you want to help her or support her, what she's doing, or if you want her support in terms of if you've been hassled or harassed because of your color or ethnicity. That's hopefully a first step that we're going to get some kind of communication going, and that, of course, is what this radio station is all about, and you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz at 96.3 FM. This is Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides. I'm Bathrobes Pierre, not with my bathrobe at the moment, but stay tuned. I should be changing into my bathrobe any hour now. We're at 96.3, and the phone number, if you want to call and join the conversation, is 427-3772, 427-3772. In the studio with us is Wanda Knight. I'm going to have to ask Wanda's patience. I'm going to play a little music and do a little business. And we have about 15 minutes left in the show. So stay with us or join us more actively. Words of Love, Mamas and the Papas. It's Mamas and the Papas time. In fact, looks like we got one of the uncles coming in as well. Boy.
Hey, Bob.
It's Uncle Dennis, 15 minutes early. Don't you get away from that mic. No, wait. Boy, these environmentalists, they just take over everything. If you let them, give them an inch, they take a mile, man. Well, we have some num-nums for you here. Steve Argue was arraigned about a week and a half ago on felony charges of assaulting an officer, essentially because of an interaction he had with Officer David LeFevre in a demonstration that was essentially turned into a near riot by police bungling. Would that be the right word? I would say so. And here's a little bit of kind of interviews around the courthouse prior to the arraignment, which was itself something of a bizarre sideshow, as Judge Attic pulled a very peculiar process and began to evict people from the courtroom for such crimes as, well, he began to interrogate them because they were smiling, and then when they tried to explain that they meant no harm, he ordered them excluded, and then as they left and said, is this justice, he ordered one of them put into chains and held throughout the proceedings to teach him a good lesson. But let's hear a little bit about this arraignment of Steve Argue. This is actual conversations prior to the arraignment. It gives you a sense of what was going on, at least in the corridors and outside the courtroom.
Argue was going to preliminary hearing this morning, charges of battery on a police officer and a resisting arrest. Drop Clinton, not bombs. Drop the bogus charges against Steve Argue were some of the signs that are being held up here. And you're holding up a sign. What are you here for, miss?
I'm here to free Steve Argue.
Well, he's standing right next to you. What do you mean, free Steve Argue?
We want to get the charges dropped against him because they're not right. Police should not be allowed to beat up women and children. They can't discriminately pick on people. It's wrong.
Now, were you a part of this protest, or did you catch this information secondhand?
I heard about it secondhand.
Do you feel it's a reliable source that you heard from?
Yes.
So what is going to be happening here today, do you know?
I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, not versed in the legal specifics. Yeah, I think it's a preliminary hearing. Probably time to start wandering in. You, sir, you're all in black with some strange medallions. A justice for Steve Argue, drop the charges now button on. So what's going to be going on here today?
This is the preliminary hearing. This is when they're going to state some evidence. Or they may fuck around with us, but this is where they're supposed to state some evidence and basically prove that there needs to be a trial at all.
I see.
That's what the whole idea of the preliminary hearing is. Well, it's basically proving that it's necessary to continue to spend tax dollars on the trial and on the jailing or anything like that. And whether or not they'll actually do something along those lines, that's what it's supposed to be by law, a preliminary hearing is for.
I see. And were you up in San Francisco on Saturday at the rally for Steve Argue and for...
No, unfortunately I had to work.
Well, here's a man in the business, so I'll talk to him. You, sir, you have a stop the bombing in Yugoslavia, but now what's your name?
John Tilking.
John, what brings you to court today?
I was going to check out this Steve Argue hearing.
And were you in, did you go to the San Francisco rally on that issue on Saturday?
Yeah, I went to San Francisco on Saturday.
And how many folks showed up, do you estimate?
That's about the same as the Mumia rally.
Which was?
The newspaper earlier for the Mumia rally said 15,000. It kind of looked the same to me.
15,000? Yeah. I heard 8,000 and 6,000. I bet you are going up. I guess we better roll in here. We're approaching the courthouse building doors here. It's several of us have picket signs and bags and displays and such. Supporters here coming in. We don't allow attorneys in this area. I'm sorry.
Send me the clear. Oh, you just arriving.
We just arrived. Yeah. Okay. So we throw that one. And an older woman who's been somewhat disabled. We're waiting for her. That one. And we're going through the metal detector here, huh?
So we got this, here you go.
We can't bring it in the court room.
This is a display. We need this.
I'm being told by the guards I can't bring a picket sign in the courthouse. And also,
according to what authority?
Can't bring in a.
What are you citing? I've never been aware of that.
Clipboard.
I have been told by a clipboard
with some various flyers posted on it. It's being borrowed by the deputies.
Okay, but listen. This is a display item.
Yeah, put that somewhere.
Well, this won't be going in the actual courtroom.
You can't bring it in the courthouse.
Okay, who's the supervisor who told you this? Because this is new to me. I'm serious. We never had a problem before.
Yeah, Deputy Harris said no.
Deputy Harris. Okay, well, maybe we should talk. Maybe we should talk. Why don't you hold this temporarily here while we're
in the issue?
Why don't we
put it back up, Sergeant?
I don't agree with that. That's the problem. I think we should be allowed
to. Get somebody from your group to be outside and hold on to your stuff. Just have a deputy.
Why don't you go ahead and I'm going to have to wait for this. Go ahead.
Doesn't there somebody outside? We'd rather take that and hold on to
your stuff. That's all right. I understand. I just thought you were completely.
So, to make a long story short, the Deputy Harris refused to allow that stuff inside, namely either the picket signs. And we're not talking inside courtrooms, we're talking inside the courthouse. So the First Amendment apparently stops at the courthouse door as far as the sheriff's deputies go. That's what we learned there. What little time we have left, I'm going to kind of run through a few things quickly. I always run out of time toward the end. First of all, I want to thank Wanda for being with us. She's been a great guest. I want to thank you, Wanda. You can go back and say a word or two. Why not?
Thank you, Robert. I just would like to get some support and try to help other people. If we could get together, united we stand, divided we fall. Maybe we could make a change.
Give us your numbers again, Wanda, for those who want to do that with you.
You can leave a message at San Lorenzo Elementary Healthy Start. The number is 335-8093, or you can call me at my place where I live. It's 465-0276. Thank you.
Hey, thank you. I've been talking to Wanda Knight, who has been taking it on the chin and giving it back to the deputies, and I guess it's mainly the deputies. We've also got the Seaside Company and this SCPD involved, too, and it's good to see people standing up for their rights. Thanks, Wanda. You're welcome to hang if you want, or whatever you feel like doing. I contacted the Coalition on Homelessness in San Francisco today, and they faxed me some very interesting material. I asked when their next protest was. The Coalition on Homelessness puts out Street Sheet, the newsletter up in San Francisco, the newspaper that is sold on the streets along with Street Spirit, the one we get down here. They sent me this hate fax, which they've been getting, and apparently is being posted around San Francisco. I'm going to read it to you because it shows you what can happen, and maybe what's happening in the minds of some, even in Santa Cruz, who are going after homeless people with clubs and steel-toed boots. Attention, Muni and BART riders. Muni, BART, and San Francisco officials all refuse to do anything about the junkies, drunks, and drug dealers who hang out around Civic Center Station. Many citizens are sick and tired of being harassed, threatened, assaulted, etc., and we are most heartily sick of the urine fumes, the feces all over the place, etc. Thus, we are serving notice on the do-nothing fools who run this town. Either you get rid of the creeps, or we will buy guns and do it ourselves. You have precisely until July 1st at 6 a.m., the creeps must be gone or the extermination begins. This is a one-page flyer that was faxed to me today from San Francisco. Second flyer is warning to Muni and BART riders and all businesses in the Civic Center area. It says essentially the same thing. We are sick of the junkies and drunks, sick of the urine fumes. City, BART, and Muni officials refuse to do anything about these problems. Thus, we are serving notice on the do-nothing fools who run this town. You have until July 4th. Apparently they gave them an extension to remove the creeps, or we will buy guns and do it ourselves at exactly 6 a.m. So they like 6 a.m., but they can't decide on July 1st or July 4th. Here in Santa Cruz, they're already trying to beat the shit out of homeless people, and the city council is sitting back and doing nothing about it. I would encourage you to call the city council and tell them to get off their respective pompous duffs. They're at 420-5020. You can call them right now from the comfort of your own home or your own, outside bench area, wherever you happen to be, 420-5020. Give them a call. Also, regarding the Citizens Police Review Board, I guess that issue has been talked about in other shows. As you may know, the Steve Argue case, the question of a formal early investigation into the Argue case was deadlocked 3-3, comes up again on June 28th at 5:30 at the Citizens Police Review Board downtown. However, you can speak to a Citizens Police Review Board member earlier by calling their number, 420-6295, 420-6295, and you can also attend a meeting with board member Sandy Brown on Tuesday. That's a week, about just 4 or 5 days down the road. Tuesday, I'm not sure when it is, but it's next Tuesday, and that's at noon at the Buttery. I'm also encouraging people who have gotten letters from the police department asking that they cooperate with an internal affairs investigation into complaints against Officer David Lefebvre, write a letter back to the police department, give a copy to the police review board, and also give a copy to the Steve Argue Defense Committee. And that letter essentially say, I do not want to cooperate with any in-house investigation of the police, but we'll be happy to cooperate with an independent investigation. Thank you very much. No more whitewashes. Yours truly. And if you want more information on this, give me a call off air at 423-4833. 423-HUFF. That's the line for Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. It's also the case that we're having a meeting. Huff is meeting at 11 o'clock on Saturday at the Homeless Services Center. That's down at 115 Coral Street. We're going to be there. It's going to be a pretty short meeting unless lots of people show up, because we're all eager to go drink coffee and go out to the movies and have a gay old time. So show up soon at 11 o'clock in the morning on Saturday if you want to be talk about recent issues of troll busting and police abuse around homeless matters. Or if you can't make it to the meeting, give me a call, and you want to be a part of the process, at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Well, I'm going to leave a little early today because I wish to give my next talk show host the full time and attention he so richly deserves. So I want to thank you for being with me on this edition of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides, which will return at 11 o'clock on Sunday. Goes for 2.5 hours then. If you have anything you want put on the air or any comments about this show, as I've said before, 423-HUFF is the number to call. And a final announcement is there is a demonstration happening in San Francisco tomorrow, Take Back the Streets. I'm going to be going up there probably, almost assuredly, leaving around 8 o'clock in the morning. If you're interested in traveling up in a caravan or getting a space in a vehicle, give me a call at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. And that is pretty much what she wrote for this edition of Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. I really want to thank you for calling in or for listening in. And please stay tuned for Earth First, which is usually pretty thick and dense with useful information and stuff you're not going to hear from other sources. Thanks.
On the run. Goodbye. first deportees.
Goodbye, my wanderer, Rosalia. Adios, mis amigos. Is you see Madrid, you won't have an A when you ride the big airplane. All they will call you will be deportees. We died in your hills, we died in your deserts, we died in your valleys, and we died on your plains. We died beneath your trees, and we died in your bushes, both sides of the river. We died just the same.
Is this the best way we can grow our big orchards? Is this the best way we can grow our good fruit?
Fall like dry leaves and to rot on the topsoil, be called by no name except deportee. Goodbye to my wanderer.
And we're going to say goodbye to Beth Rose Spears Broadsides for this evening. He'll be back Sunday morning at 11:30, I believe. At 11, Sunday morning at 11 for more homeless and disenfranchised activism. Great show, Robert. I really enjoyed your guest tonight. And, all right. So, yeah. Take care. Take care. Anyway, as Robert exits at stage left, you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. My name is Uncle Dennis, and it's time for Earth First Radio. Of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for no compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. How can we stand by while this all takes place? We got to stop this inhuman race. No compromise, no compromise, no compromise, no compromise, no compromise in defense of Mother Earth.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Every week I bring you no compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news tonight, you'll hear about folks who are killing the planet and folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, telephone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please go get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down all the information, because this is not couch potato radio. It's activist radio, and I urge you to take the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, making phone calls. When you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down at the road blockade, if you have information, announcements, or comments for Earth First Radio, please keep your pencil handy and listen for the contact addresses later on in the show. And we'll start out with some announcements.